Coming up at 4:30, everybody, John Curley, Sherry Ellegar Show. Democratic candidate Mark Mullett will join us. We'll ask him what he thinks of what happened over the weekend in Spokane regarding the Republican Party. Got some good questions from Mark. And I'm going to dive into the news, but I know you're going to play that tinfoil hat song with this first story. Hang on a second. Diving into the news! Oh, no. Here it comes. This is not tinfoil hat. No! Tinfoil hat. No! This is legitimate concern. Sure, is this tinfoil hat stuff? When I say that we do the story on the 702 that got passed over the weekend?
Yes. Huh? A little bit, yes.
Really?
Yeah. I think sometimes these things are blown so far out of proportion, and the scenarios that are presented with this type of stuff tend to be ludicrous, and that really we're giving way too much credit to the intelligence community, because I don't think that people are at much risk as they think they are, unless there's some reason to feel, you know, like you're being targeted or you do something suspicious. I just don't think they have the manpower, the bandwidth, or the interest in spying on people that they haven't. Go ahead.
So the 702 was the idea that the U.S. government, without a warrant, can spy and listen in on foreigners' communication, right? But we know that they also use this and they gather up information. They can gather up a whole bunch of data on Americans as well. We know that the FBI, we know the National NSA have spied on Americans. We also know that the FBI lied to the FISA court to spy on Trump's people. This is all proven, understood, yes. So if you trust the government and you believe that they will only have their best intention and they will never do anything to spy on any of us, then you can be, you know, have this blind sort of loyalty, which apparently you have, Sherry. I tend to not trust the government. I don't think that they necessarily have our best interests. I think there's a power play always in effect, and they will do whatever they can in order to make sure they keep the power. And if they can spy on you, they will. So when Wyden from Oregon, a Democrat that's been in for the longest time on the Foreign Relations Committee, he had a big problem with this because they added something to this. Here's what they added to this bill that passed into law, and Trump or Biden will sign it. So they add this one little provision in there. It says, it turns out there was a provision that was will essentially allow it, the government, to compel pretty much anybody to become an involuntary cooperator in the job of turning information to the government. So this scenario that you seem to have a problem with this. So that means if somebody goes into your house and they're there working for some cable company or something, and let's say before they go into the house, the NSA or the FBI tells that person, get information from that person's computer. You're not allowed, as the person who's going in hired as a cable guy or whatever, you're not allowed to tell the customer that you're doing it, but you have been, in effect, forced to spy. The headline was, now everybody is a spy. Now you're forced to gather this information. And if you don't, if you tell the customer, you're in a lot of trouble, and you have to go ahead and get the information. This is the slow erosion of the trust between citizens when all of a sudden anybody can spy. You could go to East Germany and the Stasi, where neighbors were spying on neighbors and turning neighbors in all the time. This just opens the door. Whether they'll abuse it or not, I don't know, but they stuck that in there saying, oh, you can gather up whatever information. If we need to go get it, we can go get it, and we'll ask anybody else to go to get the information if we need them to do it. That's in there, right?
Right.
But you believe that they will never ask the cable guy or anybody else that's going into the person's home to go ahead and get the information.
I would say it's highly unlikely. If they really suspect someone of terrorism or whatever it is, they're not going to send the cable guy in to get information. They're going to send one of their people in to get information. So this
but
idea.
How would you describe terrorism? But if you also broaden the definition of terrorism out, right? Domestic terrorists, right? Those are the parents that go to the school board meetings and, you know, yell. and scream and then get dragged out and arrested. That's domestic terrorism, where you knew that the FBI was spying on Catholics and churches and stuff like that. So you keep broadening out the definition of threats against democracy. So those are the people that are terrorists. So that just...
Well, I think that's too...
Past behavior too, we've seen.
Yeah, we're talking about two different things here. The fact that they targeted people versus the concept that a maintenance worker of some sort is going to be doing the spying. Is it possible? Yes, I guess theoretically it would be that, yes, somebody could come into your home to gather information as a employee of a communications company. However, I don't think that's the way things really operate. I think if they truly suspect something, they're not going to trust somebody without a security clearance to go in there and get something. They will go themselves. Okay. That's why I think it's a little tinfoil hatty.
Hatty, okay. So Sean Witka, who has been following this for a while, this is a discussion between Bob Gudlati, a former chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, and then the PPSA senior political advisor, this is Sean Witka, with a senior policy counsel, Demand Progress. So discussing how the government gathers up your data.
It turns out that data brokers, you know, nobody's favorite industry, have a side hustle that is just extracting information from Facebook, from Google, from any given website potentially, and selling that information to the government. And I think most people wouldn't have thought this could be legal, but it turns out that there's a loophole where Facebook couldn't sell this or give this information to the government. If they give it to a data broker, a third party, on its way to the government, apparently that's fair game as far as those actors in the government has concluded. And on the flip side, the government has concluded that as long as they're buying it instead of seizing it in an extremely narrow sense of the word, that it's not a Fourth Amendment event. But really importantly, this isn't, you know, once this happened. We're talking about an unknown but clearly extremely large volume of information affecting an unknown but extremely large number of Americans. And so, you know, we went from 10 years ago to, you know, the government is clearly abusing the Patriot Act. I don't think there was anybody who really seriously thought that the bulk telephone metadata program could stand up as legal. Two courts held that it was illegal and strongly suggested it was unconstitutional. Fast forward 9 years, and basically the government's saying, well, it doesn't count if we're buying it.
Isn't that strange? Plus, we know that they did it, right? All the people that went down there and protesting during January 6th, we know that the government then went ahead and said to the banks, tell us who is in this area, tell us what they purchased, where they purchased it, and let us know if they bought MAGA hats or they bought ammunition, if they bought a book, if they bought a Bible. So then the banks said, oh, okay, fine, here's all the information. Did the NSA, did the FBI have warrants in order? No, they didn't. They had to just ask the banks, and the banks turned the information over. That our founding fathers never expected this type of information to be available floating around in the cloud, because now they can go up into the cloud and go get it. Once it's up there, it's not yours. It's in the cloud. So they gather all the data. But again, I hope you're right. I don't necessarily... They don't give me any reason to believe that they wouldn't follow data and track data on stuff.
I think
in Canada, right, during the truckers thing. So during the protests of the truckers there in Ottawa, the Canadian government, Macron, called the banks and said, anybody that donates any money to these truckers, close their account. Don't let them have access to it. And the stories of, like, a woman gives $5 so this guy can have diesel for his truck so that he could have heat so he could be in his truck while they're protesting. She goes to the bank a couple days later, puts the ATM, goes hit the thing. It's closed. They closed the bank. They closed her account because the government could in that regard. So the power and the abuse of all of it in one place, we already know that Biden used the social media places in order to stop people. We know that they spy on you. It's just like, now this is just one more thing. They're including everybody else can be a spy. And they sort of pull you in that you're going to do this. You have to. It says the law. We want to get it from you. You're not allowed to tell anybody. Okay, go ahead. Anybody? I know you just can't wait to play the tinfoil hat song again.
Well, I think the biggest concern that people are saying, and I follow Edward Snowden, who's, you know, tin hat or not, he's obviously has some experience in this regard. And his headline is, look, if a really, really, really bad, you know, malevolent administration comes in, he's not saying the Biden administration is that, or even that the Trump administration is or was that, but if a really bad administration gets in there, they're going to have access to all this and they're going to abuse it. And that's the concern.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm glad we're trusting Edward Snowden, who well, is one of the biggest destroyers.
But he understands. But he was, yes, I Sherry, but he was one of the guys that said, listen, they're gathering up all this data. And the NSA, oh, no, we're not. And then they found it. They knew when they brought them to testify, they lied. James Brenner lied. Jim Brenner lied about, oh, no, we're not collecting data on American citizens. The hell they weren't. They caught him with it. And they even said, when you say collect, they are able to follow you. And your phones give everything away. They know exactly where you are. They know where you're going. I was talking to a guy from New Zealand today. And I said, I was amazed that the Kiwis allowed it to happen, what they did. So if you wanted to go to the store during the whole COVID thing, you had a text, I'm going to go to the store. They would say, okay, your store is exactly what do you need to get? Oh, I need to get a couple of things. Okay, it's going to take you 10 minutes up and back. And if you're not back, we're going to know where you are because you're on your phone. If you're not back at that time, we're going to come get you and arrest you, or you're going to be fined or something. So people would race to the store, get the milks and eggs and everything, and then run back to their house and hide there. So the government was tracking everybody and everybody where they were going, coming in and arresting people. It's just, we're not that far from that. And the fact that they can come in and get your data for whatever reason they want to get your data and see that you're talking to this person or that person, I think it's scary times. Again, all right. Oh, I know. Oh, here it comes. All right. All right.
Well,
how's my hat look, Sherry?
It looks good. I like it. I like it with the beard.
Okay. Right.
Kind of all coordinates.
Okay. Okay, fine. All right, fine. I hope I'm wrong.
I think New Zealand and Canada have a different system of government than we do, and therefore they don't have the kinds of protections that we do. I don't see the United States being able, with all of the people watching and waiting for something like that, I just don't see them attempting to do something as egregious as getting into bank accounts and things like that. But, I mean, yes, do they spy? Of course they do. And do they spy sometimes on regular citizens? Absolutely. And
isn't it odd that just before Matt Taibbi was supposed to speak, IRS agents showed up at his house?
Oh, no. I'm not denying any of that. I'm not denying any of that.
Is that not a form of intimidation?
Of course. Of course. That's
yes,
not
of
my
course.
Point. My point is that sometimes
yes.
we take these things to an extreme, and it really is it's highly unlikely that anything like that would happen. Like you send the telephone repairman or somebody in who's really, if you do, it's going to be an agent. It's going to be a CIA agent. It's going to be an FBI agent, because they're not going to trust that kind of information gathering to a regular cable guy. It's just not going to happen. So that's why I say, but that's the only thing. Otherwise, I don't disagree with what you're saying. I think people have been targeted and have been abused by government surveillance.
Right.
It's the other,
but 2 weeks ago, we had the story of the woman. She put something up on Facebook, and then FBI agents came to her house. And she said, what are you doing here? Oh, we just want to talk to you. Well, what did I put? I forget what she put up on Facebook. But there they were, two agents standing at her door. She wanted to see their badges. She wanted to get a picture of their badges. They wouldn't let her do that. And then she was, what did I put on there? Well, we just want to just talk to you about some of the things you've placed on Facebook.
She was a pro-Palestinian protester.
Right.
So
and she was very radical, and she probably...
And it is her First Amendment right. It is her First Amendment right to say what she wants to say. Now, if she says it in the context of a university, right... A private university, she could be fired for that.
Mm-hmm.
A public university, no, because that's government. So it's the First Amendment is to protect our speech from the government. The government cannot stop us from saying things. And as they broaden these terms out, well, that's hate speech. Now we're going into Scotland. We're going to get arrested in Scotland for saying something offends someone. There is no such thing, and there is no protection in the United States Constitution to define hate speech. There isn't. But it keeps broadening out. Same thing that Bob Ferguson wanted to pass with that House bill that got shot down, where they would follow you, see what you're saying, and then bring you in. And then they would have holistic sort of care for you to help you so that you don't get radicalized. And he was all for that. They would just sort of, and they had a commission. Remember, they had a committee of like 14
sure.
or 13 people.
It's ridiculous.
That we're all represented, you know, the oppressed minority. They would be all the sort of sitting there, judge and jury. Is anybody here offended by that? I am. Okay, bring them in for some re-education.
Yeah, no, that's outrageous. But as far as
and
the
that,
data
that was
stuff,
the House bill. Yes.
Yeah, but as far as the information with the data stuff, they sell, Facebook and everything sells it to these third parties. Well, they do that for advertisers. They do that with everybody. Everybody's buying that information. So the government,
yes.
You can't say the government can't do it because it's the same basic principle. They're getting that information.
But you see the loophole around it. The government can't get it, but the government can buy it. They knew they weren't allowed to get it.
Yes.
Without a warrant. But then they wrote it in there. Well, if we buy it, that's different. They just wrote it how they wanted it so that they could get the rules to work in their favor.
But the concept that somehow this information is being protected is not true. Companies are buying it. Lots of research places are buying it. Everybody's buying it. So it's already the horse is out of the barn.
But not personal emails that you have. That's the thing. If you're writing to somebody something, if you have something on your file of your computer, I'm just telling you they added it in there that they use the word custodian, that somebody who's anyone who's interacting with any device that may have data can be included in the gathering of that data and working for NSA or FBI to get it. And they're not allowed to tell anybody and they're in trouble if they do. But hey, again, we just hope it's just tin hat stuff. Here we go with the John Kerlish, Sherry Elliker show, and you hear the president talk about they're going to spend another, what, $100 billion or $300 billion. So imagine being born, and all of a sudden they hand you a credit card, and you find out you have almost $100,000 in debt on that credit card. I think it's more than that at this point. I think it's $130,000. That's what every single American owes to the government to pay off the debt. So when you hear about, oh, historic this and historic that, they're just adding more to the credit card. It has to come from somewhere. And it's going to come from every single one. That's we all owe about $125,000 or $130,000.
So. $7 billion, by the way, not $300.
Oh, it's $7
billion? Yeah.
And we got, what did we get, $100 million over here to Washington to have solar panels? Oh, good. All right, great. All right, that's great. Thank you, Joe, for that.
I'll either be Roland Egg or, you know, being the guy who's pushing them out. Come on.
That's right. There you go. Thank you, Mr. President. There's an AI phone now, and on this AI phone, you can pick it up and you can talk to Mr. Weirdo Salvador Dali. Why'd they start with Salvador Dali as the AI guy, Sherry?
Because it's at the Dali Museum in Florida.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains it. All right. So you pick up the phone, you get a chance to ask him. You can ask him. Hold on.
For years, people have attempted to understand my work, trying to find meaning in the surreal, to make sense of the dreams.
This is a phone call. I'll do what my Aunt Mary used to do on the phone. I loved my Aunt Mary, but it was really annoying. Call your Aunt Mary, and then this is what it sounded like when you talk to Aunt Mary. So, right, if Salvador
Dali... Of a historic genius. But how mm-hmm. can anyone possibly mm-hmm. know what is inside the burning mind of Salvador Dalí? No, mm-hmm. they simply cannot. Mm-hmm. They are mere mortal mm-hmm. human beings. But now mm-hmm. I can tell you. Introducing mm-hmm. Ask Dalí, an audio experience uh-huh. powered by AI mm-hmm. and machine learning that allows you to talk mm-hmm. to me.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Salvador Dalí, and you...
I think we all feel that way. yeah, okay, get on with it.
You can ask whatever, me Salvador. Anything. Just okay. pick up my lobster phone.
Why are
Yeah, I got a question for you, Salvador. Why'd you like Hitler so much?
The clock's melting.
My dear questioner, think not of the clocks as merely melting. Picture them as a vast dream.
Why are the elephant's legs so thin?
Did you really dream all those things?
What's up with your mustache?
How?
Why did they exhume your body?
Hmm.
Hello, you still there? Hello, Salvador?
They brought me.
What happened to your mustache?
Here is far beyond my
Okay.
Well, that's an interesting question.
He's such a weird guy. Once he drove a car that was packed to the roof with cauliflower.
Okay.
He was also obsessed with Sigmund Freud.
Mm-hmm. And somebody gave him an ocelot for as a pet. Yeah. He knew he had to commercialize everything. He was producing so much work and then he'd sign it and then lose it and he couldn't find it. And he was always trying to produce more stuff so he could keep the money pouring in. He was kind of an early commercialization of an artist. So he had to be as weird as possible and everybody kind of liked him because he was so absolutely strange and stuff like that. So Joe said, if you could pick up an AI phone and ask it, would you want to talk to anybody in the AI world?
If it was an artist, I'd probably want to talk to Picasso. If it was anybody in the history of the world, maybe Jesus.
Don't fall for this, Sherry.
What?
Because it's not real.
I know, but
it's not a real person. He's just like, now you're just in line with everybody else breathing into that weird phone and smelling everybody else's cheese and root beer breath. And you're like, hold on, I'm going to talk to Jesus. Hi, Jesus. Hi, Sherry. You know, it's like,
well, but the information is taken from real sources and real data that they have on these people, so it's supposed to be relatively accurate.
I see. I know, but still.
I know you're not talking to Jesus.
Okay.
Who would you? Come on, John. Dumb. Play along. Is it Milton Friedman?
No one. No. Because I'm asking a question. The AI thing is being able to hear the question and then pull up the guy's voice. It may or may not be his voice. And it wouldn't be personal. It wouldn't be a chance to really have any true connection. It's just a computer. I'm just talking to a computer and they put the phone in there.
But
I was the same kid that we waited for more than 4 hours to talk to Ronald McDonald. And because a new McDonald's was opening up. I'm sitting in line. It was like 1,000 degrees out. My brother, my mother, my sister, and I were all standing there. And all of a sudden, I said to my brother, I don't think that's the real Ronald McDonald. And Chuck said, why not? I said, I don't think that's the real one. Because his face was melting and sitting in the hot Philadelphia heat. And it's all sort of smearing and stuff. But we had waited hours and hours. We were like four kids away from the front. I turned to my mom and said, I don't want to sit on his lap because I don't think that's the real one. That's not the real Ronald McDonald. My mom is like, heat stroke. She's like, okay, let's get back in the car so I can smoke a cigarette.
Yeah. Which is exactly what Ronald McDonald was saying.
She always like, excited, no break for Ronald McDonald. Yeah. Now, I've always been one to stand up to I want the authentic stuff. I need to pick up the phone and talk to Salvador Dali's AI generated voice. And Sherry, I'm again disappointed in you. Disappointed.
Well, thanks for playing along, John.
I just thought it would be fun. I like Pablo Picasso, and I think that it would be neat to hear things about him. It's sort of like Google Talk, right? Where you're talking to the person, like you'd Google the question and they would Google answer you.
Okay, I'll be Picasso. Ready?
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Pablo, I really admire your work, but
I did not hear the ring.
Oh. Okay, ring, ring. Picasso? Mr. Picasso, are you there? I have a question for you. While you seem to...
Sherry, I don't know if you know how phones work, but when you can ring, ring, you got to keep ringing until he answers.
Oh, all right. Well, I thought he heard.
Ring, ring.
Okay. Ring, ring. 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 Ring, ring.
Hello. You have reached Pablo Picasso's answering machine. I am not here. I'm out sexually assaulting women.
Hi, Mr. Picasso. My name is Sherry.
Oh, hi, Sherry. I did not hear you. There you are. By the way, I'm doing doing an Italian accent, even though I'm Spanish. Go ahead. Sherry, you are very pretty. You are very pretty. Can I come over here? Why don't you come to my house? Have you ever seen my body?
No, I'm curious about a particular work that you did, which is called Dora Maar. And Dora Maar was your lover for a while, but then I guess progressively as she became an annoyance or whatever, you started to do
overweight.
More.
Say it, Sherry. She was overweight.
Is it true that you would go from portraits then to cubism to try to illustrate the fact that you didn't like these women anymore? Although you loved women, but you were such a misogynist.
Oh, misogynist.
You aren't actually French, but you do.
How old are you?
French.
I can't tell. You're on the phone. I don't know how old you are, but I'm going to paint you.
Okay.
With three nipples. I hope you have a problem with that.
No, very accurate. Thank you.
And large hands.
Oh, yeah. Well, that'd be sort of like one of your abstract paintings.
I have to go. Bye-bye.
See ya.
How was that?
Oh, good. Good. See, I got a lot out of that.
My best quote from Pablo Picasso is he would go into the forest and fill himself with the color green and then come out and paint. And then he would go try to get the other colors. And so he's going out and coming back. And yeah, but the way he treated women, oh my God, that guy, he would psychologically abuse them, basically kept them in sort of this emotional hostage situation. He was wild, but apparently he was quite the lover, Sherry. Did you know that?
I heard that. Also, my favorite
hours
quote from him.
And hours of Picasso. Yes.
Art shakes, what is it? Art shakes the dust off of everyday life.
Hmm. Now, gets into my bed. Thank you.
Well, the
all
guy's
right,
got
thanks,
bragging
sir.
Rights.
Well,
yeah, okay.
Covered all that. Sherry, I just texted you something. Here we go with the John Curley, Sherry Elliger Show. You follow us on Instagram? Sure, why not? Thousands of people are? Who wrote that? It's the John and Sherry Show. Sherry spelled S-H-A-R-I. John and Sherry Show on Instagram. Thank you, Joe, for putting me up dancing on the song Oklahoma. A lot of people asking for you on Saturday, Sherry. I did the St. Jude auction over Fremont Studios. I think like 500 people. They raised a record amount. Close to $1 million was raised.
Ooh.
First item off the block. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Party at Curly's Barn.
Oh.
Come to the barn. That's right. So great food, great wine, live music, and psychics. You know our psychic friends? Yes. And I was so concerned that nobody would bid on it. I was like, oh boy. So I bought a table and put all my friends there to like cover for me in case nobody wanted it. It was like, well, there was sold out. What do you know? Everybody I brought in is going to buy it. And I said, okay, if you want to go, we'll take 10 couples. Raise your bid card if you want to go for $200. Whoa. We had like 40 cards in the air. It's like, oh, here we're going to raise the price. Cards come down 20, 30, 40, now 500, 560. 7, 8, 9, 1,000, 12, 15, 18, 2,000. So $2,000 per couple, and we got 15 couples, and three people came up to me later on after and said, will Sherry be there? Will Sherry be there?
Did like, you say I don't have the two grand to give you, so I'm not invited?
No, you don't have to, because then all my friends that I brought were like, hey, we're coming for free, right? It's like, what? Give something to St. Jude.
So are they in? You guys are
yeah,
sort
psychics
of...
are coming.
Nice.
The psychics are coming. So it was really interesting because I've talked to both of them. Of course, get both on the phone. They said it's really important people come to your party that they don't drink a lot, because if they drink too much, it messes things up. So I'm going to have to send an invite to everybody. And most of the people that bid and won, I don't know a lot of them. But that's okay. So they're all coming up, but we'll sort of say, listen, if you want a psychic reading, you know, kind of pull back on the booze, you can have that later on. But I guess we'll do readings first or something. And then they also said, bring with you something that belonged to somebody who had passed, and they'll try to connect to the person who's passed. The main thing is I if you bring guests, bring like psychics to a party, and I feel like a connection to these people, and having them come all the way out here to the club, you know, paying them to be here. I just can't stand if like people are like, yeah, that's a lot of bull crap. Yeah, that's bull crap. Yeah. Like, I don't want anybody heckling. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean? They would really do that. They wouldn't do that. First of all, your friends wouldn't do that because they wouldn't embarrass you. And I don't, I mean, most people that are willing to spend $2,000 on a party invitation would not behave that badly. I don't I don't think that's a problem.
Okay. And then I've,
but the, okay.
Yes, yes.
No, no,
what?
No.
No,
I think, how
are
many
you
going to
be
people?
There? 12th well, of October?
Sure. Sure. I mean, yeah, I would love to be there. I would love to be there.
That's not an answer. Yes, that's very yes. sneaky on your part. Yes, of course you'd love to be there. You'd also like to be the Queen of England, but it doesn't matter. The question is, are you going to be there in the 12th of October?
Yes, I will be there.
Wow.
Yes, whoa. I will be there. Okay.
There we go. There we go.
Do you want me to pay?
What, $2,000 at St. Jude?
Yeah.
I got you covered.
Okay. Sure. I'll take that along with your kidney.
Oh, boy. Here we go. All right. Good. Well, it's got to get a band. Got to get a band.
How many total now? What's the total?
How many
party
people?
Goers? Yeah.
That's going to be like 50.
Oh, that's a lot.
What about the guy that was on the know-it-all quiz 2 weeks ago? His band was really good.
Yeah, they were really good. Will they come out to the club on a Saturday night?
I'll find out.
But we also want to find, we want ones that people can sing along to and stuff
like
that.
Oh, like cover band.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, we'll figure it out. All right, that's the, let me know when we're back on the air rather than me just talking about personal things. Oh, we're on? Oh, wow.